Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If I had the opportunity, if they gave me a chance, I could turn the fortunes of an NFL team around. There's no doubt in my mind.
None at all.
If I could write stories, I've written many of them.
You have.
Why wouldn't I be able to draw up a play? I know I could do it. I'm asking.
Any camera, choose it.
Which one? If you're dissatisfied with your offense, come to me. I know I could help. I'm an aggressive play caller. And you know what else I am?
What are you?
I'm going on fourth. 2 minute drives. Why are they all so successful? Why do these teams always score in the last 2 minutes?
Why?
Because they use four downs. That's why. That's why. My philosophy is we've got four downs. Go with your four down.
That is Larry David from The Checkdown. And that's from July of last year. Says he could be an offensive coordinator. Give him the job.
Your headlines real quick. Bills will be on the practice field today as the OTAs continue for them. A handful of roster moves from them yesterday. You can check those out. We have details, WGR550.com. The NFL owners said, hey, competition committee, you have our blessing. Go tweak the challenge rules for pass interference. No change to the overtime rules for the upcoming season. And you got an NBA playoff game tonight, Toronto-Milwaukee in Wisconsin. That series is tied at 2. Yanks beat Baltimore. The Jays lost in 13 to the Red Sox. The Mets beat Washington. And the Bisons lost to Rochester. And Michigan finds John Beilein's successor. They pick former Fab Five member Juwan Howard as their new head coach. Those are your headlines. You can join us this morning, 803-0550, 888-552-550. Got some hockey names to throw at you boys to talk about, maybe directions where the Sabres could go. Luke Fox is coming up on the afternoon show today from Sportsnet. He's been doing a series of articles at their website, sportsnet.ca. Interesting off-season stuff, and I'm sure he'll talk about it this afternoon at 4 o'clock. One of them was... seven teams that are basically in cap hell. I believe he said inferno was the term he might have used. But I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want to bring up things of interest from the Sabres standpoint. I did want to point out Vegas. According to the article from Luke, Vegas has $0 in cap space. In fact, they're slightly over the projected $83 million cap ceiling with four empty slots on their roster and William Carlson as an RFA.
A what so, now?
Vegas has no cap space.
What was the last thing you said?
RFA.
RFA.
R stands for restricted.
R stands for R for sheet wars that are coming this summer.
So, yeah. So how about Vegas, who has no money left? He points out, Luke Fox does, that right shot defender Colin Miller is prime trade bait. He's only 26, so they reportedly are looking to move him. So that's Vegas. Pittsburgh, we've kind of talked about.
Vegas pays Marc-Andre Fleury, a 34-year-old goaltender, $7 million a year for the next 3 years.
Nobody's taking that, right? Hey, call San Jose.
He also has a no trade.
Oh, well, then nobody's taking that. So that's Vegas. So you could look at that roster and say there are some guys that you could get to help them out. By the way, if you would like to provide Vegas some cap relief, if you're willing to take on a contract to get a player, they have David Clarkson's contract on their cap for one more year, $5.25 million. I'm sure they'd like to shed that. We've talked about Pittsburgh. Phil Kessel.
David Clarkson does have a modified no trade, no movement.
Seriously?
Yeah. Now, he doesn't play.
Yeah, isn't he like
so
retired somewhere?
I don't think he would veto any trades.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, we've talked about them. They have cap issues too. Kessel's name is the big name on the market. There was some talk about Malkin, maybe Letang, Olimata. They don't have a lot of draft picks. They already spent their second, third, and sixth round pick. So they would be looking to recoup some picks as part of maybe moving some guys off from a cap standpoint. Tampa has been brought up. You know the story about them. $8 million in cap space. Defensemen are going to walk away in free agency, and they got to find a way to sign Braden Point. It is noted that Tampa is expected to at least explore the possibility of trying to sign Erik Karlsson. I don't know how you make all that stuff fit.
Well, there was a rumor about that when Karlsson was on the market before he got traded to San Jose, that Tampa was the team in on that.
They got $8 million in cap space, and they're going to have to sign Braden Point.
The name from Tampa that might get moved is JT Miller.
There were three names I wanted to bring up. So, you know, you bring up the idea of the middle class. You're going to have the big contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the low contracts. What does it do to the middle class? Three names in Tampa that are being rumored you could trade for.
Can I guess them?
You already guessed
Miller.
One.
Is Killorn another one?
Two.
And
actually, I'll throw in a fourth because I saw that too. So two other names.
Pull up their roster.
Andre Palat.
That's three. JT Miller, $5.25 million cap. Killorn, $4.45 million. Palat, I got to look up. I don't have it, but there's one other name.
But just before we get... Yeah, all right, let me find the other name.
Find the other name. Middle class cap number.
Yeah. I was going to say, how about like the Yanni Gourde?
No.
Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson is the other guy. That they'll move out some of these guys.
But this is a big point here for me. Because the fact that you're pointing this out, that a team like Tampa is in cap hell, right? By the way, cap hell's a good place to be. It generally means you're good.
Yeah,
not every team, but how many teams you say were in cap hell? Eight?
Seven.
Seven. And are six of them good?
Well, yeah, I can get you the list. But okay. Kyle Dubas said that. He basically told the Toronto media.
It means you're good.
It means we have a lot of good players. It's a good, as opposed to if you have $30 million in cap space, there's... Who have you been signing?
Now, every one of these teams that's in cap hell, this is important to remember for signing Skinner, for signing Eichel, Dahlin, like big money contracts. It's important for the Leafs, too. Who do they want to get rid of? Not the big contracts.
Right, the middle class.
They want to get rid of the middle guys.
Right.
If you're Toronto, the conversation is about Kadri. Do you get rid of Kadri? He's $4 million.
His name is mentioned, yep.
You talk about Nylander, who is $7 million. Or you can't offer, you can't match
Kapanen. And Johnson are the two
If you're
guys.
Talking about Tampa, JT Miller is $5 million. Tyler Johnson, $5 million. Killorn is $4.4 million. They don't talk about moving Kucherov.
Right.
They don't talk about moving Stamkos. Those big contracts, I just my feeling on this that there's so much fear about spending too much on the top-end guys when the reality is your team should be mostly top-end guys and replaceable guys. Guys on entry-level deals that you can then spin. If you're Tampa, you've got Point, Sorelli. You've got a couple of pieces, including the middle-tier guys.
Mm-hmm.
Trade them away. Supplement the bottom end, the bottom six, and keep paying the best players the most money.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
Your bottom six isn't going to cost you that. Shouldn't cost you that much.
No,
and if you've got a good third line, it still shouldn't cost you that much.
And think about Ryan O'Reilly for a moment, not for the Blues trade, but when the Sabres signed him, he was the biggest contract in franchise history for the Sabres, and he's already middle class. Right, $7 million.
Seven, yeah.
He was traded $7 million. That's
upper middle class.
Upper middle class. Sure,
yeah.
That's not even that much when you consider that Matthews is about to start making 11, and Marner's making 11. Right. Don't shy away from. I'm going to get another point here. It's almost like the upper middle class and the upper class separated quickly because the $10 million deals started popping off like crazy. And now the guys that are 21 years old, 3 years in, Marner, Eichel, Matthews, McDavid, guys like that. What's Laine's deal going to be, right? Panarin's about to hit for 11. Sign the guys at the top. Do not be afraid of that. You'll find a way to trade a Tyler Johnson or a JT Miller to a team that has room and thinks, well, this guy isn't that big a deal. We can take that on.
I think all those names from a Sabre standpoint are all very attractive. They're not big cap numbers. They are talented offensive players that would certainly bring something to your team. Why can't you call? If they can't make Karlsson work somehow, you call him again and ask him about Ristolainen, and you help them with a defenseman. You get a forward. You know, they're going to have to either buy out Ryan Callahan or get someone to take him off their books. But why not? Any of these guys would look good in the Sabres. Any of those middle-class forwards would make this a better group of forwards in Buffalo.
Yeah, every one of these conversations, the Leafs are going to be in trouble paying three guys $10 million. No, I think they'll be fine. I think that's the way to do it. You have three players that are so much better that they are most definitely worth it. Shave a million or two off your $5 million players or your $3 million players. Don't try and get cute at the top. Pay Marner, pay Matthews, pay Eichel, pay Dahlin. You know?
But what they do is, what then their decision is, you know, in all likelihood, they will have to let Jake Gardner walk into free agency because they can't afford his contract. There's even talk that maybe they try and ask around, see if anybody wants Nikita Zaitsev. I mean, that's, I think, $4 or $5 million a year. Kadri is a prime candidate.
Sure.
As long as people don't get up, you know, aren't worried about his suspension issues, $4.5 million just from the standpoint of a contract.
Very valuable.
It is very valuable, and that's an area where it can help them in terms of cap space.
And I think about this for quarterbacks in football, too. It's worth it to pay the top guys. As soon as you start identifying guys that are near the top and pay them like top guys, you get into trouble. You know, the NHL has we're talking about the separation of those of the class. McKinnon's on a deal for $6 something because he signed it.
He signed it
a couple years ago,
right?
And that was before the explosion of big contracts. It's the thing with Skinner. What are you walking over? He wants 8.5. Are the Sabres walking away because they're only going to give 7.5? Make up that $1 million on a goalie. Mm-hmm. Make up that $1 million on your backup goalie. Make up that $1 million on your fourth line center. So I think about the way that we have talked about teams being too top heavy. The bigger and bigger the cap gets, you know, the numbers just kind of tend to move up naturally, and I am not afraid of big contracts. I'm not afraid of that Skinner deal. The Oposo deal, even that one, you know, it's $6 million, and you don't get the production that you want from him at $6 million. That does not have to kill you. The cap is big enough. You've got wiggle room. What you have to do is be careful of guys like Bogosian making
5.1. I was just going to say, what helps the Sabres is some of their middle-class guys are either now coming off or will come off the books. Bogosian is one more year. Pominville is a middle-class guy, comes
Scandella
off the books. Scandella is in that group. So those guys in that $4 or $5 million range are either coming off this year or will have one more year left, and then they are off the books. And then you have the controlled contracts of Dahlin, Olofsson, Asplund will be here at some point. Mittelstadt is still on a rookie contract. So you'd have, you know, you'd have Eichel, Reinhardt, you'd have Oposo up there. Well, not Reinhardt's not there yet. Eichel, Skinner, and maybe Reinhardt and Oposo, and then you have a whole bunch of these controlled contracts at the bottom as your middle class guys come off the books. Ristolainen also, obviously what happens with his contract is that's a longer term, $5+ million contract. There's a couple other names I want to throw out to you. One other team of interest, because you've brought this guy up since he was playing in juniors. The Caps don't have a lot of room either, but they have about $10 million. But if you're interested in UFAs, Brett Connolly, Carl Hagelin, who supposedly the Sabres were interested in, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Brooks Orpik, but RFA, Andrei Burakovsky, is an RFA for the Washington Capitals. His name is being mentioned in trade rumors. It's, again, according to Luke Fox, it's not out of the question that the Caps decide not even to qualify. I think that'd be silly. Not even to qualify Andrei Burakovsky at $3.25 million, let him hit the open market. So that's a name I think you've been a fan of since he came into the National Hockey League. That's the kid played at Erie, right, with McDavid?
Adam Ernie?
No, who? Burakovsky.
Burakovsky did. Ernie.
So Burakovsky might be a casualty of what's going on in Washington, whether it's RFA offer sheet or whether Washington decides we're not even going to want to qualify him, let's just trade his rights to somebody.
Ernie was with Grigorenko.
Yes, in Quebec.
In Quebec. Yeah, I mean, Burakovsky, sure. There are moves to be made.
There are ways to make it work with teams that are going to be looking for some kind of help and some kind of relief in terms of getting guys off the roster. Or guys that have contracts coming up in the next year or so that they're not going to want to pay. So move the asset now for something of value. The other name I'll bring up is from TSN, Jacob Trouba, 25-year-old defenseman who, you know, Winnipeg is another team that doesn't have a lot of cap space, and they have Patrick Laine, who they got to worry about. They have Kyle Connor, who is going to be an RFA. Laine is going to be an RFA. Maybe they want to keep Tyler Myers. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So according to TSN, Jacob Trouba, who's set to be a restricted free agent, could be traded by the Jets. They don't have a first-round pick next month. The story says they would love to get a first-rounder and a top-pairing defenseman back in a trade for Jacob Trouba. So keep that in mind. Now, the only sticking point here, if the Sabres are trading for Jacob Trouba, you're going to have to give him a long-term contract. He's going to want a long-term contract, obviously, and supposedly he's going to be – they think he's going to get like $7.5 to $8.5 million in a long-term contract. So if you traded Ristolainen, you'd be picking up about another $2-3 million in cap space eventually with Jacob Trouba, but that's certainly obviously someone who would have an impact, a big impact on the Sabres defense and maybe you can convince Winnipeg, I don't know which pick they want, to take the low first-round pick. So Trouba was a name of interest to me, too, because that's a team that's primed for a trade candidate. Let's get the offseason going.
Yeah, bring it on.
Got the coach. Now that's, I wish we could just, you know, get through the playoffs, get through the combine, get down to the end of June, get to the draft, and let's start seeing what Jason Botchel's going to do. Let's see the wheeling and the dealing to see what he does to make this team better.
Their best move of the offseason last year took place what day?
When did they win the lottery?
Well, their move, not the ping pong ball's move.
The Skinner trade was what day?
It was August 2nd, I believe.
Yeah, think about how
late
that
I got to wait till August?
That's what I mean.
I can't wait till August.
The NHL offseason tends to be a lot of that. A lot of, all right.
I'm thinking last
finals are over. Here we go. Make with the trades.
Let's go.
No, then there's not a lot of trades. All right, you know what? The trades happen at the draft. Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
perfect.
Let's go.
Perfect. All right, here we go. Draft day. Draft day ends.
Draft is June
21st.
Well,
you know, a lot of these teams want to find out what they can get in the draft, and then they're going to make their trade.
Oh, you're killing me.
All right. You want to wait till after free agency. All right, free agency. Let's do it. All right, free agency and then the trades. No, guys, you know, a little bit of a feeling out process. Yeah, August. August was the Skinner trade.
That's not acceptable. The draft is June 21st. Let's go. That is a first day. Is that the first day of summer? Prime candidate for some big wheeling and dealing from Jason Botchel. That June 21st to July 1 window. Look, June 23rd, the UFA contact period opens up, right? Then July 1, July 2, when does the signing period open? In that two-week stretch, that is a prime period for some moves to be done. I can't wait till August. We're in Bill's training camp.
He should also do some work to re-sign Evan Rodriguez. Evan Rodriguez is good, and a good bottom six forward for this team. I was reading some stuff from Chad D. Dominicis yesterday about little numbers about who Casey Mittelstadt did well with, and Evan Rodriguez was a big example. They didn't play together enough or as much as Mittelstadt played with like Oposo, but Evan Rodriguez, go ahead and sign that guy. Give him, you know, a little cheap little contract.
It shouldn't take a ton of money.
It should be a lower class kind of contract. It's right. I mean, he wasn't making too much. Sign him for 3 years and what am I gonna say? 6.2. I don't know what the number is. But yeah, keep Erod.
But that's a very effective bottom two-line player who, you know you're going to get a pretty honest effort from. He's not going to cost you a ton of money. You know, you'll get some. It's not a lot of offensive production. You'll get some limited production from him offensively. But, I don't even think about Erod because I feel like it's kind of a no-brainer signing. I mean, I like the kid. He's been good, and he would be very affordable. I've been operating on the expectation that he's going to be back. Like him, I don't even think about. Like, why would you walk away from Rodriguez?
No, I mean, he's an RFA, so you wouldn't.
Yeah, he's good, and it won't cost you a ton of money.
Gergensen's and Larson are your other RFAs up front. So your forwards are Gergensen's, Larson, Rodriguez. Like, Rodriguez stays, the other two, Larson can...
He can go to Sweden.
We'll figure it out. You're probably not keeping all three. You're definitely keeping, of the three, you're keeping Rodriguez. And on defense, McCabe is an RFA.
And I expect
probably
he would be back.
Extend him a qualifying offer and see what happens there. He was hurt a lot this year, huh? McCabe was another one. We all thought Housley was going to – I was thinking about this yesterday in one of my paralyzing moments of always thinking about the Sabres. I was thinking about how we don't even talk about how badly the whole thing went for Housley. It was so bad. It was – everything went so terribly. He took over a team that was – a disappointment with 76 points and finished in, Bulldog says, buck naked last. I like buck naked last. They finished in buck naked last, and they lost the psyche of a Selke finalist in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And by losing the psyche, you want to put that on O'Reilly? Maybe it's on him. I say the Sabres have their own ownership of that to some degree. That happened. Well, your change wasn't... Oh my God! Let's find somebody that can get this thing on track. You know what? He's not happy. Get him out.
Yeah.
And maybe there was stuff behind the scenes that had gone so bad, but how could it have gone any possibly worse in Phil Housley's first season?
Darlene could have been awful.
That was his second season.
Oh, first season. Let's see.
It
Leonard,
could not
O'Reilly,
have gone worse.
Kane.
Jack Eichel was out the entire year.
Yeah, there you go. Eichel could have been just, or played like a bum.
That's not any worse.
Eichel could have been
awful. That's the same. Dead last, and you had to blow up.
Well, you can't get lower than last.
And get rid of but you also lost O'Reilly
in
the process.
It would have been worse if the NHL revealed after the season there was a secret memo that went out that there was a relegation for the team that finished last, and the Sabres were being relegated.
Okay. So the answer is it could not have gone any worse.
Yeah, because I don't think
you could have lost Jack Eichel for his career. That's probably the worst.
I
suppose the arena could have exploded, yes.
Don't even say that. I don't even want it to
Jeremy
be a
Jeremy wanted
a
situation.
Bubble. Don't even, God, please, no. Don't even kid about that stuff. Wow.
But how it went so bad. You know, we talk about who they're digging out from. Right now they're digging out from Housley. That's really what this is.
Well, they're digging out because, from the,
and the reason
from the
I get
two
to this
GMs
is because
too, from Murray and from Bottrell too.
Sure,
I mean,
but
Ryan O'Reilly trade was awful.
They hire Housley, one of the players, like, you know what? He's really going to get more out of Bogosian and
McCabe
kind of defense and Ristolainen, and none of it happened.
Yeah, they got worse.
None of it. Then they were gifted a guy in the lottery, and that guy made everybody better.
Yeah, he's good. But
and they got another guy named Pilot who was pretty good, and the coach didn't like to play him.
Actually, Pilot, the sad thing is he got worse as the season went on and then had to go to Rochester. Yeah, that happened too.
So I've spent
a few
minutes.
The Hall of Fame defenseman couldn't really develop defensemen.
Yeah, I spent a few minutes thinking about that what they're kind of digging out from is that the coach, that things went so poorly. And I'm not even saying it was all his fault, but the GM stayed and the coach left, and that decision could have been made after year one. Or mid-year two, or three-quarters of the way through year two, or 5/8, or, you know. Yikes. I guess it could have gone worse if you decided to trade Eichel.
It'd be the Mets if they fire Callaway anytime soon. I mean, he's not even halfway through his second season, and they could look at it and go, yeah, this isn't working out. We're just going to do something else.
You know, the Cardinals fired a guy after 1 year, Arizona, right?
Yeah,
we're going another direction.
Right.
It would have been justifiable after 1 year. Makes me wonder if the Sabres had found Ralph Kruger 2 years ago, would it be different? Would he be? We'll find out if Kruger is any good, but could he have kept that thing together?
Mm-hmm.
Could he have just made it a better environment? If they'd hired him instead of Bilesma, what happens? You know, is it just an overall better situation?
Because Bottrell talked to him a couple years ago, but he was still under contract to Southampton. And so I was thinking about that, too. Like, what would would Bottrell have hired Kruger
the first
2 years ago? Right. Instead of waiting and hiring Phil Housley, if Kruger said, "Yeah, you know what, I'll leave Southampton.
Did
I got an out clause."
Want to, but then you know Housley's the former.
Right. I don't know
the former
right.
great, and they went to the Cup final, and he was a hot candidate at the time. Maybe
he was, and you know they off of a really good franchise, off of a group of defensemen that people were saying, "Boy, Housley does a great job overseeing the group of defensemen in Nashville. That's the kind of group of defensemen every team would want in the NHL." I do wonder about that, whether he would have offered the job to Kruger 2 years ago if Kruger was open to it. 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. Let's give you a code word. We're playing our National Win Cash Contest. We give you a code word. You text it in. You have a chance to win $1,000. It's that simple. The code word is powder. So P-O-W-D-E-R. You can text that to 72881. You have until 8 o'clock to text the word in. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Powder and 72881, again, is the number where to text that word. Hopefully you win $1,000. Two more chances coming up this morning with us, 825, 925, and then four more code words this afternoon with Shope and the Bulldog as we play the National Win Cash Contest from WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tyree to throw. Going to throw to the deep corner of the end zone. It's caught. Bullseye. It's a Buffalo touchdown. Anthony Johnson with the touchdown grab.
The Tampa Bay Bucks wide receiver is going to join us in just a moment. Let's get you some headlines. Speaking of football, the Bills are practicing today. It's an OTA. It is closed to the media. They made a few roster moves yesterday. We've got all the details at WGR550.com. owners met yesterday and said, hey, competition committee, go ahead. You have permission to tweak the pass interference challenge rules. Looks like they're going to try and make it, take away booth review in the last 2 minutes for pass interference challenges, make it coaches challenge the entire game. The NFL awarded the 2021 draft to Cleveland and 2023 to Kansas City. NBA playoffs tonight, Toronto-Milwaukee, that series tied at 2. Baseball, the Yanks beat the Orioles again. That's 8 straight over the O's. Toronto lost to Boston in 13 innings. Vlad Jr. homered. The Mets beat Washington. Bisons were shut out in Rochester, and Juwan Howard is the new basketball coach for the University of Michigan. Your headlines brought to you by Smith Boys Marine Sales, your number one source for boating in Western New York. On our Wester hotline is former UB receiver Anthony Johnson, who signed on as an undrafted free agent with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's with us right now on WGR. Anthony, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. You?
Doing good. Thanks for coming on with us. Nice to talk to you post-UB. You had a rookie. Did you have a rookie minicamp down there yet, Anthony? If you did, how did things go for you?
Yeah, we had a rookie minicamp. It went pretty good. We only did 2 days because they said that practice was going pretty good for everybody, so they let us out early for the third day. So pretty much everything went well.
How did it go for you personally, your first chance to get on the field down in Tampa?
It was great. You know, I just had come from Buffalo, and up here I just had to get used to the heat. It was pretty hot out here, but after I adjusted to that pretty well, I just started moving around pretty fast.
Where are you from originally?
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Oh, come on. It's got to get hot in South Carolina.
Yes, it gets hot, but I haven't been in the hot for like 3-4 years now.
Okay. Stay hydrated, Anthony. Have you guys had a full workout? Have the veterans been in yet for a workout?
Yeah, the veterans been in. We've been doing OTAs for the past few days now. So it's good working with those guys and how they get around.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, I know, you know, Mike Evans obviously is the big name in the receiving depth chart there for Tampa. Who are some of the guys? Have you tried to ask questions or lean on some of the receivers yet to help you out a little bit?
It's pretty much Mike and Godwin. You know, those guys have been here. So, you know, I just kind of like look at those guys, follow those guys, ask those guys questions whenever I'm around them or on the football field. You know, they give great advice. Like I said, they've been here. They know how the game goes.
So far, what do you think have been the biggest challenges for you in making the transition from UB to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Honestly, I got everything down pretty well, you know, pretty fast. Like I said, the only thing for me, it was just like the weather. Like I got the playbook down pretty fast. I've been moving around pretty fast, and like everything's really pretty much going good for me.
I would think the playbook would take some time, that it would require a lot of homework, but you thought you got it down pretty quickly. How come?
Just being at different schools, you know, like I learned all those playbooks. You know, I just got pretty much used to it. I'll play different positions. You had to learn every position, so coming here, it just wasn't no difference getting the playbook. So I just, you know, took all that in.
What's the battle like at wide receiver? What kind of as you look at the whole position group with everybody who's there, what kind of chance do you think you have?
Honestly, you don't know. You know, you just got to keep working and keep showing what you're capable of. Like we do 2 football fields, like the vets or whatever on the first field, and like the rookies are on the second. So you know, you just got to keep working. You know, you don't know what's the results at the end, but you know, just keep showing the coaches what you're capable of.
Do you when you had to make your choice, you know, and you're out there as an undrafted free agent, what appealed to you about Tampa?
Just new coaches, you know, just new opportunity. I was like just ready to pick a team. You know, I had 2 other teams, then they called. I just wanted to start fresh. I feel like it was the best opportunity for me to get on the field. You know, looking at other teams, they drafted like a lot of receivers or whatever. So I just thought this was the best fit for me.
Have you had in the short time you've been there, what have you noticed so far from Bruce Arians? You mentioned new coaches, and he's considered one of the better offensive coaches in the league. What have you seen so far from him?
He's a great coach, you know. Like, there's no standing around or anything. No, they want us to work on both, like I said, both fields. Like, they want to be able to see everybody and see what everybody can do. You know, we're just going to keep coming out here working every day and keep getting better.
In looking back on it, Anthony, how surprised were you that you didn't get drafted at all? You end up in an NFL camp, and that's really all that matters at the end of the day. But how surprised were you that you didn't get drafted that weekend?
Very surprised, you know. I was very shocked, disappointed. No, I didn't think I was going to go undrafted, but, you know, I couldn't control any of that. I was upset at first, but at the end of the day, you just got to move forward and just take the best opportunity you have, and that's what I did.
Were you able to do that pretty quickly, you know, to get past all that and then just concentrate on this opportunity?
I was pretty mad for a few days.
Yep.
But then I started to, like, just settle in and just, like I said, I just had to focus, and it was the best opportunity for me. You know, things happen you can't control, so you just have to move forward with that and just play ball.
Do you use it as motivation on a daily basis?
Yep. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I always got a chip on my shoulder, so I'm just going to come out here and work and compete.
All right. Well, listen, we're very happy for you guys. I mean, you, and of course, I know you probably kept in touch with Tyree and Cam Lewis and all the guys that have ended up in places. Congratulations, and the best of luck in Tampa. Hopefully everything works out. You make the roster, and we look forward to seeing you in the NFL.
Thank you.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
That is Anthony Johnson, former receiver for the UB Bulls, trying to make his way through the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and earn a spot on the roster for the Bucs this season. It was a short career at UB, but a really talented receiver to watch play, and hopefully things work out for him in Tampa. 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. You got a little trivia?
Yeah, I put together some trivia for you.
I'm not sure I'm really comfortable with the topic.
Two rounds of trivia.
Two?
Yeah, you don't even know
the
topic.
I struggle enough with... Oh,
you didn't even know the
topic. You told me it was going to be something Bills special teams related.
All right, well, it is. So the NFL website has the... A mashup video, a montage of each team's longest punt return since 2002, I think it said. I don't know why they picked 2002, but they did. No, I'm sorry, since 1980. Each team's longest punt return since 1980. So, let's go. Falcons. No, I'm kidding.
Deion Sanders.
That's not it. The trivia is this, though. The Bills have had five players return a punt for a touchdown since 1996. Only five. Name those five players.
All right.
If you can get who had the longest one.
Roscoe Parrish.
Is correct. His longest punt return was 82 yards. And he had a punt return for a touchdown. Three of them.
McGee did McGee do punts? He only did kicks, right? All right, Terrence McGee.
Incorrect.
How about TJ Graham?
Incorrect.
Hmm.
Marlon Kerner.
Incorrect.
I just want to give Marlon a shout out.
There was another 11, wasn't there?
There's got to be a cornerback in there somewhere.
Mm.
Winfield. Clements wouldn't have returned punts.
Mm-mm.
Rod receiver.
Five
Marcus. Marcus Thigpen.
Bam, correct.
I was going to say Marcus Easley.
That you got Marcus Thigpen before.
I thought you were going Marcus Easley.
The other person you should get is
Marcus Easley.
Impressive. No.
No.
Marcus Thigpen, correct. He had one punt return touchdown. You're missing a player with three, a player with two, whose name has been mentioned, and another player with one.
The player whose name was mentioned?
Yes.
When?
Since I've said instant trivia.
Really?
Yes. Nate Clements.
Yes, correct.
I didn't think Clements returned punts.
He had two punt returns.
I couldn't remember Nate doing it.
Yep.
How about Nate going all the way? All
he,
right.
did, he did not have a kick return touchdown.
So we're missing the guy with three?
You're missing the number. Yeah.
Crap.
People are yelling at you.
Well, then tweet it, for God's sake.
If everyone yells louder, they might
hear
it.
Okay, hang on. Everybody be quiet so I can listen to the yelling. No, I'm pressing my headphones to my ears. I still don't hear it. Eric Moulds.
No. But if you're the next category was going to be kick return touchdowns, and Moulds is correct, and so was McGee is correct.
Peerless Price.
No.
I feel like we're missing a receiver.
Oh, Spiller?
Correct on the kickoff return, but
okay.
No, not on the punt return touchdowns. I didn't even want to give you hints because it's
too easy.
It is. I mean, if it were Friday, I would tell you to go home.
Can I go home anyway?
No. Thursday.
Wait a minute. Is Fred Jackson correct for kick returns?
Neither.
Neither? Okay. Oh,
We've got texters that are screaming via text. They are yelling. I've got, on text.
Twitter answer. Yeah, Leotis McKelvin.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Leotis McKelvin.
I must have blocked all special teams memories of Leotis McKelvin out of my mind because of the kick return in New England.
I've just blocked Leo McKelvin out of my mind completely.
I like and on Twitter, Leotis. Too. You don't follow him on Instagram either?
I don't follow him anywhere.
Leotis was okay.
McKelvin is the only one to appear on this list of kick return and punt return for a touchdown since 1996. Or since about two. Yeah. So that's it. And you're missing one more, whose first name was a different first name.
Scott Chandler. I don't know, I'm just throwing crap out there.
I would have liked
first
to have seen
name
that.
Was a different.
I know that's
first,
what I thought of.
Yeah,
name.
We didn't call him by his first name. We called him by a different first name.
Fast Freddie Jones.
Fast Freddie Smith.
Fast Freddie
Smith. That's whatever.
Jones and Smith.
He had a punt return touchdown.
He did.
Do you remember it?
No. I can try and find it
because I feel like something that is so notable you'd never forget. Fast Freddie returning a punt for a touchdown.
Fast Freddie Smith. By the way, I found out while doing this that Brad Smith had a kick return touchdown.
Brad Smith.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Are you doing kick return touchdowns?
I was going to do the last five, but you named them all.
Goodwin didn't have one, huh?
No. Molds did.
Molds did, okay. Did Goodwin had his in the... Didn't he have one in the preseason? Somebody had a big kick return in Indianapolis in a preseason game. Was that Goodwin?
Yeah, I think it was Goodwin.
Okay. Remember, Murph's call on it was really good.
Flash Gordon. What? Flash Goodwin?
Flash Goodwin?
Yeah, Flash Goodwin.
Right, it was a good call.
Because I remember, I think it was Tom Sitch. He synced that touchdown call with like a jet engine flying by.
Yeah. No punt returns for Marquise Goodwin in his career with the Bills. Punt return touchdowns, that is.
Sorry, Leotis. I apologize. I should not have forgotten.
According to Pro Football Reference, Marquise Goodwin only returned 6 punts.
Yeah, right? Okay. But he would have returned a number of kicks, didn't he?
22.
Oh, that's not a big number, actually.
For no touchdowns. Brad Smith did have one touchdown. 89-yard kickoff return touchdown.
Don't remember that one either.
Me neither.
There were so few plays with these guys. You'd think they would stand out more. All right, grab a line. Join us this morning.
There's a stretch of about 5 years, not the current Bills regime, Smith. Where the Bills' entire plan was to win games on special teams. Didn't it feel like that? Now, their whole plan was we're drafting a cornerback who's going to run kicks back, and that's how we're going to score.
Well, Mormon was their best player for how many
seasons? Right, it was Mormon and McKelvin, and that's how we're going to get our points and flip the field.
803-0550 to join us this morning, WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Into the wings. Thigpen comes up the 25 to take it. Thigpen's got a hole. Thigpen down the sideline. Thigpen cuts it back to the end zone. Touchdown.
Sounds like Ron Pitts on the call. No?
Was it?
I don't know.
Was that a... why do I think I'm thinking of a... Who was it against? What game? Was it here?
Marcus Thigpen.
Yeah, it was against the Packers, the one where they
went up. So it would have been a Fox game.
The Ralph.
Okay. I thought it was one of the CBS guys in my head.
That would have been one of the games the Bills won, and Doug Marrone.
Is that the Marrone? Oh, the Marrone.
Marrone. Yeah.
Oh, let's... No.
Because okay, the very next game, they went to Oakland, and they lost.
But after that game, they claimed they changed the Marrone changed the culture because they beat the Packers, and then they lost the next week to a 4-12 Raiders team to basically get bounced.
Now I got a craving for a bologna sandwich. Let's not go down that road. I have a new idea for a new creation, though. I was listening to that play-by-play call. You know how they have like Google Translate where you get something in a language, you can translate it, right, and all that stuff? I want a Gus Johnson translator. I want to take play-by-play calls and translate it into Gus Johnson calling the play. Don't ask me why, but you're playing that and I'm thinking about his... Oh, caught! What was it, Bengals, Denver?
That was Brandon Stokley.
Oh, caught! I mean, I just want every play-by-play... That. I want that guy. Let's translate play-by-play calls into... How would Gus Johnson have called that play? Bang! See? the excitable one. He always makes every game a lot of fun to listen to.
I got Whoa!
Really? I got a quick whine. It's a dark day for Division III. Did you see the story out of Minnesota
and,
where they...
And Tiny Co. College?
No, not Tiny Co. College, but Division III. People like me, you guffaw, Mr. Division I. But did you see the story in Minnesota where a conference in Minnesota kicked a university out of its league because they won too much? St. Thomas. It's a Division III football. It's a Division III college in the state of Minnesota. They've got a really good football team. They've been good for the last few years. They've won so much, the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference kicked them out.
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Good.
You can't just kick out good teams.
Nah.
Try and beat them.
No, you're hanging around the JV division while being awesome. Stop patting your stats and get out.
Mount Union is a dominant power in Division III. They win. They don't kick them out of their conference in Ohio.
They should. Kick them out. Get
Wisconsin
them out.
Whitewater is a dominant program. They didn't kick them out of their conference.
They should. Get them out.
You know, if Buff State was dominant, whatever. No, see, you're just being a jerk.
No, I'm talking about promotion and relegation. Promote them.
But they got to play. Where are they going to go?
Good for here.
Where are they going? They're not going Division II.
They can form an alliance of their own.
With who?
Division two and a half.
Oh, you're killing me. I cannot believe they threw a team out because they've won six titles in 9 years. It's not like they've been winning for 30 years. It's just this decade. And they thought, we got to throw you out.
So throw out the Patriots then.
That's where I was going with this. Can we have the NFL follow suit? Would it be possible to freight the, competitive parity in the conference is a primary concern. Competitive parity has been non-existent in the AFC East for 20 years now. What do you think? We got a shot? All right, so I'm going to email Bettman about Stanley Cup finals and not final. I'll email Roger Goodell about competitive parity in the AFC East and see if they boot out the New England Patriots.
By the way, the going back to the Marcus Thigpen punt return, that is the last punt return touchdown the Bills have had back in 2014. Yep. It's been a while.
I would tell you they'll get one this year, but I don't remember if Andre Roberts does punt returns too. I know he did kick returns and had touchdowns with the Jets. Mm-hmm. I think he had one against the Bills, right? I don't know if he does punt returns. So I'm not sure who would be handling punt returns this year. 803-0550. We are going to be talking some hockey coming up in the next hour. The NHL Combine is going to be in town next week. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the top draft prospects. Maybe there's a competition for the number one spot and what might be there for the Sabres at 7. Ryan Kennedy will be joining us around 8:30 from the hockey news. Also, the NFL yesterday, they put into effect, they're going to put into effect for the first time, a challenge for pass interference calls. The Canadian Football League has done this since 2014. And coming up at 9 o'clock, Darren Hackwood's going to join us. He's the director of officiating for the CFL. Since the NFL's going down this road, they've already done it, been there, done that. We'll see how it works in the CFL, what bumps they would have dealt with, the reasons why, and heretofores. That's coming up at 9 on WGR.
Dangerous! Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,